Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, June the 8th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are in the Big Book, page 43, More About Alcoholism, third paragraph down, Once More the Alcoholic, through one paragraph ending with Must Come from a Higher Power. And the comments are on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Letty G., the 12 Traditions, Mary P., the readers of the text are Penny L.C., Ann S.C.H., and Alex K. The share ID for Sunday, June 7th, is 23,525. That's 23525. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, June 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 23,526. That's 23526. Our newcomer greeter is Hillary B., and our announcements person is Shelley E. Thank you all for your service. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I will now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Letty.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everybody on this line. Letty G. from California/Nevada. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, Mo, and have a great meeting. I pass.
Thank you very much, Letty G. from California/Nevada. Okay, I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Mary P. She is from Texas. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Say, I lost my place, excuse me. Okay. No abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 43 in More About Alcoholism, the third paragraph down. Begins with, once more, the alcoholic goes through one paragraph ending with, must come from a higher power. And I will now ask Penny LC to get us started. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. And boy, oh boy, there's the truth, you know, of what we've been reading. And the authors outlined the framework of the solution to my compulsive overeating in the prior chapter. There is a solution. Now, in More About Alcoholism, they choose to go into detail about who the alcoholic is, actually who I, as a compulsive overeater, am, and then also why they do what they do, actually why I do what I do. And then they need and what they need to do differently. Well, that's telling me what I need to do differently. In this final paragraph, they drive home that sadly, the compulsive overeater like me is never going to have what it takes to overcome their addiction, my addiction, and solve their problem, my problem. I am without sufficient power to do so. My self-knowledge, my understanding of my disease, will never give me enough ability to conquer my addiction and, in particular, provide my abstaining from that first bite. That my mind tells me will make life easier. That's a falsehood for sure. 10 years ago, I had been abstinent for an amazing 5 years with food neutrality and saner living. This miracle was thanks to my choosing to rely on my higher power and a release of trying to exert my will to fix life. I had a turn of events that came up, though, after that 5 years, and that started a downward slide. I became overwhelmingly disturbed, felt things were out of control, and I made a detrimental decision. I took my will back, thought I could control the problem and let go of my connection with my higher power. Then, just as I predicted, my disconnection left me weakened, not empowered, as I falsely believed I was. My delusional viewpoint, My delusional viewpoint truly left me defenseless. As I got up from my chair, I had been ruminating about the problem that had me imprisoned in my self-centered, self-willed, confined thinking. And suddenly, that sweet object in the other room called my name. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Penny Elsie, and she's from Washington State. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. I will now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph.
Alex K.
Alex K.
Chanel T.
Chanel T.
Michelle A. C.
Michelle A.C.
Elena C. Elena C.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay.
Elena C. Yep.
Jason W., San Diego.
Jason W. Thank you, Jason. San Diego. Anyone else? So I have Alex K, Chanel T. Who was that?
Linda W. Hi, Mo.
Linda W. Hi, Linda. Linda W. from Nevada. Okay, we'll stop there. I have Alex K, Chanel T, Michelle A. C., Elena C., Jason W., and Linda W. Nice lineup. All right, everyone else mute except Alex K. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, Mo. Thanks so much. And thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. This last paragraph sums up the chapter. I have no defense against the first bite. No human power can protect me. My higher power can protect me. And it reminds me of later in the book, the three pertinent ideas that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, that God could and would if he were solved. I'm powerless over compulsive eating, and I have no hope of solving my compulsive eating problem on my own, no matter how much knowledge I acquire or how much willpower I exert. That's step one, the problem, the hopelessness. I'm powerless whether I admit it or not, and if I resist that fact, I can't recover. And I did resist it for a while. I kept trying to be a normal eater. I kept trying to control my disease. And, of course, that never worked. I was a chronic relapser. I was stuck in a miserable, vicious cycle. When I admit my powerlessness, when I fully surrender to that reality without any doubts, concede to my innermost self, and see that all my efforts have failed and I need help, then I'm willing to look beyond myself for the answer and become open to receive the help that I need. And the answer is a power greater than myself. That's the hope, the solution. When I connect with my higher power and take this step, somehow miraculously I'm given the willingness and the ability to abstain one day at a time from the foods that make me sick and crazy. I'm able to turn to my program and my higher power for ease and comfort instead of turning to food. Not only am I able to not eat those foods, but I don't want to eat them. My thinking about them has changed dramatically. I no longer see them as something I want or need or deserve. I see them as poison, and I don't want to put poison in my body today. That's part of the psychic change. I want to take care of myself today and eat in a healthy, sane way. And with the support of my spiritual team, my higher power, my fellows, and the steps, together we can do that. I'm so grateful. I'm not hurting myself with food today. I'm not binging or starving. The food compulsion and obsession has been removed. And I eat to nourish my body. I enjoy my food, but it's not the center of my life anymore. My recovery program and higher power are at the center. The most important thing in my life, and that makes all other parts of my life better. Such a transformation. The impossible becomes impossible. So grateful for these miracles. And I could never do it alone, so thanks so much for being on this journey with me. Thanks, Mo.
Oh, thank you very much, Alex Kay from California. Glad to be on the journey with you, too. Up next is Chanel T, followed by Michelle AC. Good morning, Chanel.
Good morning, Mo, and everyone on the line. Hi, I'm Chanel T in Washington State. Grateful compulsive eater in recovery today by the grace of God. Not cured, and this, but recovered. I get to live in freedom. Didn't think that was possible. As we were reading this, I was thinking about, with alcoholism, there isn't a dispute amongst most people anymore. It's a disease. It's an addiction. And people know about AA and that it's worked for many folks. With food, we're not there yet. I mean, it's hard. It was so hard for me to accept that certain foods, not every food, certain foods, ingredients, and food behaviors, once I start, I'm not going to be able to stop consistently. I don't have that, and that I'm going to start again. That mental defense isn't there. That I have a physical reaction different from regular eaters to these certain foods and ingredients. And I have a mental obsession that even if I put those things down for a period of time, my brain's going to tell me it's okay to have them again. And that only a higher power, that there's a spiritual solution to this physical and mental malady, this problem, this illness, it doesn't make logical sense for me. And I had to suspend my so-called intellect around all of it and just go with it anyway because nothing else was working. Dieting. Yeah, diet, I'll lose weight, sure, but I don't lose the craving.
I don't lose the phenomenon of craving once I pick something up again. I don't lose the mental twist that tells me it's okay to pick up something again. Any intervention that I take, I exercise like a maniac for hours a day, for years, until I could no longer do it because I damaged my body enough that I can't do that anymore. It didn't solve the real problem. It took off some weight, or it kept the weight at bay, but it did not solve. And I've heard people say on this line, and I'll say it too, even when I was thin, it didn't solve my problem. Why? It was still me. I still had this spiritual emptiness, this feeling of loneliness, even believing in a higher power, I did. Until I worked the steps completely, entirely abstinent. And I continue to work them every day with the sponsor's guidance, using this big book, listening in on this meeting and others. Wow. What a simple solution. Not necessarily easy, but simple. If I just embrace that, hey, thank you, I'm powerless over these things. My life is unmanageable unless I do this. It's so simple. I'm so grateful. Thank you. That'll pass.
Thank you very much. That's Chanel T. from Washington State. Up next is Michelle A.C., followed by Elena C. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And I have had a new experience of this chapter in the last 24 hours. I read it yesterday with a sponsee, and I don't know that I've ever had so much hilarity reading anything in the big book in my life. We were laughing so hard because as we translated it into the strange mental twist for each of us, it became really, really funny in a kind of gallows humor way. Like, oh my gosh, I really see that I am as crazy as Jim. I'm as crazy as the Jaywalker. I'm as crazy as Brett. Like, I'm as crazy as all these people. And when I could figure out exactly what my crazy looked like, I got to the end of the chapter and the chapter had done its work. And the work of this chapter is for me to really give in to the idea, to concede to my innermost self that I am an alcoholic, I'm a compulsive overeater. And I cannot explain what higher power was up to between us as we were doing that, but it was such a relief. Even having done it a million times, to get to the end of this chapter and think, yeah, okay, I give in. This is exactly what's going on for me. I am every bit as crazy as every person described in this chapter. And it left me really wanting to jump to We Agnostics, to jump to the next chapter, because I knew that they were going to give me the next bit. And, you know, part of what I think about when I read the big book and I get to read it with another live human is that not everyone had that opportunity at the beginning. The book was sometimes used with people who didn't have other people to talk to, and they were doing it from the book by themselves. And I could see how if I was able to identify in every single time I read it, but that by the time I got to the point where they were going to introduce an idea I might not be comfortable with, which is a power greater than myself, that I'd be ready for it. I'd be wanting it because I don't want whatever was going on before, right? I don't want what was going on in my mind during this chapter. And I totally gave in to the idea that it was what's going on in my mind. It's not the food. It's not the food. It's not the alcohol. It's not the whatever. It's my mind that does this. And so if it's inside of me, my mind can't solve it. And so I just really relish the idea that we're about to jump into We Agnostics and be told, don't worry, you're not supposed to solve it, and have that great sigh of relief that we're going to look outside of ourselves. We're going to look above, beyond, across, whatever the world, whatever you see, we're going to look somewhere else. And really, really grateful to know that that's coming. And with that, I'll pass.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's Michelle A.C. from Colorado. Up next is Elena C., followed by Jason W., and I believe Elena is from North Carolina. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning. You are close. I'm from South Carolina.
Oh, South.
Elena C. from, Elena C. gratefully recovered for today. And I like this. It's a short paragraph, but it's a very powerful paragraph to me because it's just it talks about the psychological subtleties of our condition, no mental defense. You know, mental meaning is an energy. There's the brain and there's the mind. And, you know, it's unless I experience it for myself that I have no mental defense, I couldn't believe it. I still was talking about maybe that addiction is a choice. You know, like how come you don't have the mental power to, I mean, the mindset that you could stop. And it's not, it's just very subtle, this mental defense, no mental defense. In other words, there's no way that if I can ingest my triggering food, I'm going to stop there. You know, I'm going to binge, I'm going to eat a lot, I'm going to all sorts of things. I'm back to square one with my character defect as well. And, you know, and my defense must come from a higher power. We speak in these rooms about spiritual healing. That's the ultimate healing of all, I believe, that the healing that comes from our amazing higher power, the healing that comes from doing my relationship, my part in the relationship with my higher power. And what is that? It's just to search God's will, you know, to remember, to say a prayer. Can you show me your will for me? Can you help me, you know, pay attention to it? Can you help me guess it? Because it's not clear all the time. And it's just, I think that I'm growing. My brain is growing. My mind is growing. I grow emotionally as well and physically as well. You know, I'm healthier if I do that. And I am very grateful for it. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Elena C. from South Carolina. Up next is Jason W., followed by Linda W. And after Linda, I will get another lineup of names. Good morning, okay. Jason.
Good morning, Mo. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, great. Thanks, everybody. I'm Jason, compulsive overeater here in San Diego, California. What a wonderful reading. I just like to read it in first person. Once more, Jason at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Emphasis on no. There is none for me. What that means is on my own power, I will take the first bite and start the allergy and go into a spree. I'm speaking from experience right now. I'm trying to get back to, I've lost my abstinence here in this program, in this fellowship, because I have no effective mental defense against that, taking that first bite, except in a few rare cases. Few rare cases pretty much rules me out. Neither Jason nor any other human being can provide, has any capacity to provide such a defense. Jason's defense must come from a higher power. Like, that's the only place. And I have tremendous resistance to that. I've had it all my recovery career, the last 30 years in another fellowship, resistance to this, giving it lip service, saying, yeah, that's right, and talking about God like I really had any faith in God, any reliance on God. And thanks to the wonders of relapse here and in that other fellowship, I'm finally getting enough humility to see the situation that I really must have a connection to a higher power, or there's no hope for me at all. So I'm grateful. I love how this chapter leads. It just, if you just look at it, the progression is just leading to this last paragraph, which is leading to the next page. We agnostics, if my defense must come from a higher power, let's talk about that. And we agnostics, should say Jason, the agnostic. Anyway, thanks for your service and listening to me. Everybody have a great day. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Jason W. from San Diego, California. Before I take Linda W., let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 43 in More About Alcoholism. The third paragraph begins with, "Once more, the alcoholic, through one paragraph ending, must come from a higher power." And after Linda, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Mo, and everyone else. Thank you very much for allowing me to be here. It's so good. I haven't been around for a while, and this paragraph is really great. I'm just realizing what's happening to me. I'm abstinent, but I find I have... Can you hear me, Mo?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me? Pardon me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. All right. I'm finding I have a lot of free time that I didn't have before. And I'm the type of person that really wants to go, go, go and have one thing right after the other. So it's really difficult that I have this free time and I should be so happy because having the free time gives me the time that I want to straighten out things like my affairs, like my medicine cabinet and my files and... So God has given me this. Now I have to accept this and thank God and truly be thankful from the bottom of my heart that he's given me this and appreciate what I do have and not have expectations from my family, my children, my other people, and just live life one day at a time on life's terms and be with God and be loving. That's all I have to say. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. That's Linda W., and she is from Nevada. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Bruce
Denise
G. E. I would.
Larry
G.
Okay, wait a minute. I got Bruce E., and then there was a gal in there. I think it was Denise.
P. Pittsburgh, thank you.
Okay, Denise. And Denise T, and then I heard Larry G.
Rachel B, California.
Rachel B in California. Thank you. I have Bruce E, Denise T, Larry G. Who? Who's that?
Marla S in Iowa.
Marla S. I think we're
Melinda H. And
I'll take you, Melinda. We'll see if we have time, okay?
Thank you.
Melinda H. All right, so we'll stop there. I have Bruce E. I have Bruce E. Denise T. Larry G. Rachel B. Marla S. And Melinda H. We might not get to you, Melinda. All right, Bruce, you're up. Tell us where you're calling from. Florida.
Thank you, Mo. Yeah, I'm way down south. I'm way down in southwest Florida. And this is Bruce E., and I am a real compulsive overeater in recovery down here. And not a fake compulsive eater, real one. I don't have to fake it. So I see here, this is interesting. It says the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental, M-E-N-T-A-L, mental defense against first drink or the first bite. Yeah, well, how about a spiritual defense? And how about on the days I forget that I've got a spiritual defense? So I'm taking off, not last Friday, but the Friday before, a week ago, time flies. Time flies whether you're having fun or not having fun. So I'm, excuse me, taking off on a trip, and so I'm the hotshot that gets to cooked the food on Friday night on the grill. Had a couple of those little box grills you set on a picnic table. And I hadn't done that in so long. Excuse me. I mean, it had been forever since I'd done that. And I didn't even know what a cooked product looked like on one of those grills. And so, you know, I'm going to have to sample one. Excuse me. I left home that morning. I didn't do my prayers in the morning. I didn't do a meeting in the morning. So I'm just like, you know, Jim and Fred and those guys and going right off and, you know, not doing anything in the morning. And I had a little scrape with my wife on the way up there. I remember that on the way to where we were going. And kind of like Jim in the car dealership, had a little scrape with his boss. Nothing big, you know, get up there. So I don't know what anything looks like when it's cooked on a barbecue grill. It's been so long. So I'm going to have to sample something, you know. So, well, I'll sample one that's going to go to me for dinner, right? So I did. I sampled it, and that was the end of it. You know, all that was the start of a spree for the whole weekend. Just that little bit that I sampled, and then I ate that, and I ate this, I ate that. You know, so the whole thing went on. So you get back, you know, I'm all beat up from the disease, and I'm share with my sponsor and share with my check-in buddy and so forth. And what I learned is, oh, thank you. What I learned is, got to work a program, got to be in a program, not on the edge of it, got to be in it. So that's it for me. I pass.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Bruce E. from, I think he said Southwest Florida. Up next is Denise T, followed by Larry G. Good morning, Denise. Press star one to unmute, Denise.
There I am. So sorry, my old chair, hold up. Yes, recovered compulsive eater, overeater here in Pennsylvania. Up above it says that there, in most cases, there is virtually no other spiritual solution, is what my sponsor had me insert there. And so the sense that there is no effective mental defense that is other than one that comes from my higher power or spiritual being, where it says that neither he nor any other human being, I see this morning, it's a spiritual being, part of the spiritual solution. And what a gift that in rare circles like 12-step meetings, the emphasis is not on a moral problem. It is not on a medical problem. It is on a spiritual dis-ease. And I've seen that my my heart, I believe, resides. It wars at times with that soulish, where they had emotional in step two, that emotional nature. And when that's been cracked into, then my physical nature and with the mental obsession is a goner. And but as it says, the hope and the lovely, the defense must come from a higher power. So I'm so glad to get learning what that is, because I have relapsed enough now that I, in my anger and in my second space, my soul was just going raging and had no defense to work the powerlessness, which is so spiritual, 100%. And then, bang, I was in the food. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much. That is Denise T. from Pennsylvania. Up next is Larry G., followed by Rachel B. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, and welcome to all of you who are new to this program or returning. My name is Larry G. I am from California. Not only do I have no mental defense against the first fight, I have no mental defense against volume. I have no mental defense about staying on my plan B or not. I have no mental defense against changing unilaterally my plan of eating. I have no mental defense against all that. And I'm really grateful that I'm learning about this in this fellowship. This fellowship has been a game changer, a lifesaver for me. Not the life I used to have, but it's given me, God has granted me a life beyond my wildest dreams. I've also learned in the 6 years I've been in a vision for you, that I could be going to meetings 7 days a week, giving service, sponsoring, being sponsored, calling new people. And there has been times when I've done everything right, everything that could be asked of me. I'm doing the deed. And the obsession to compulsively eat, take extra food, go off a food plan, comes back so ferociously that if I don't have developed that relationship of power greater myself, I'm a dead man. And it talks about, on page 34, it talks about that our mental state precedes a relapse. And I came from a community that we believe that feelings precede a relapse. I had a friend 50 years ago who attended a workshop, the LA Intergroup put a workshop on. I won't tell you the name of it because I don't think it's conference approved, but he brought back this packet for me, and it was on. It's on. Basically, the workshop was on black and white absence, like just like an AA has black and white sobriety. We have black and white absence, and I was longing for that. I wanted that. I was yearning for that. I had my absence was. I was in relapse, constant relapse, and. Constantly thinking about food, thinking at times I was going insane because I could not think about anything else. And now I'm in a fellowship that supports this. It's a lot of work, yes, but today it's not work for me. It's a joy. It's an absolute joy to have this kind of fellowship that asks this, you know, this kind of integrity around our absence is an absolute blessing. And so, yes, today I do have the moral defense. It's called God, and with that, I pass to you.
Thank you very much. That's Larry G., and he's from California. Up next is Rachel B., followed by Marla S. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo, for your service and everybody who makes this meeting possible. It's so nice to be here. I've been abstinent since December 14th, and just pretty much food neutral, which I had no idea of that term, but I feel like I pretty much have it, which is nice. But I've been hearing this paragraph. I knew I just had to share. I've never shared on this meeting before, but welcome to everybody from around the country. It's so cool to hear everybody. But I had an experience a couple of weeks ago. I was at a kind of an outside event, and there was food and people, and it was just a really beautiful event. And I got my plate of food, and I sat down, abstinent food, and talking with everybody. And then I got the bites, and I got up, and I thought, oh, I'll just have like one more of this thing, which is abstinent, but not going back to get a second one. That's not abstinent behavior. So I started to walk towards the table, and I just prayed. And I just said, you know, God, am I supposed to be doing this? And my physically stopped walking forward and just walked sideways and back to my seat. And I sat down and I said, wow, I'm not in charge. The minute I'm in charge, I'm walking towards the food. And it reminded me of kind of back some years ago when I was a complete binger in my car, and my car would just drive to the next such and such shop, and I couldn't help it. And it would go one after another, and so I just I'm so grateful I have that experience of just walking and turning. But, you know, I also feel that my abstinence needs to get more defined. So I'm glad to be on this meeting and hope to stay afterwards for some numbers. Thank you so much, everybody.
Where are you calling from, Rachel?
California.
Oh, thank you very much. That's Rachel B. from California. And up next, and I think this will be our last share, is Marla S. We'll see, Melinda, if we can get to you. Good morning, Marla.
Hello, can you hear me?
There you are. Okay, good morning.
Sorry,
yes.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Marla. It's good to be on the meeting. Hi, Mo. Marla, recovered compulsive eater in Iowa. God, I love this chapter. What this makes me think of for me is my daughter who has a seizure disorder. And in my experience with my food, all of the things I did before recovery, which led me to finding and improving and creating a relationship with a higher power, a God of my understanding. But everything I did before finding that, like people have said, it doesn't matter if I made 78 phone calls or went to 48 therapy visits a week or self-help groups. I went to 3 eating disorder treatment centers in my career of eating. All of those things that I thought were giving me prevention to stop doing it, was all basically a fallacy. Because those are all great things that will work for people when they have a brain that functions normally and can perceive the difference between myth or fact and fiction. But my daughter's seizures, for example, you know, we can go to all the professionals and she's learned all about it. She even knows what types of things can be triggers for her, so she can avoid those things and do her best not to be triggered, just like I can avoid sitting in a bar if I'm an alcoholic trying to get well. I can avoid certain people, places, things. But that is not the most effective defense, because those are all behaviors that eventually could be hijacked by my sick, disordered brain. My daughter can know all the facts, all the signs, all the symptoms. Oh, I'm going to have a seizure. I'm about to have a seizure. She can sit down, lay down, be prepared for the fall. But there's nothing she can do to outthink the seizure. And that is what my disease does when I'm not connected with my higher power. The only mental thought defense I have is not my own, because my brain doesn't distinguish between true and false when it gets hijacked and I go into those crazy mental twists. So my only defense, yes, I do all the work. I write the food plan. I commit it to the person I work through. But the steps, the only defense I have is to get the result of the connection with the higher power. That is the only defense that works for me. And again, I could study books and books on nutrition and training. Oh, you lost 100 pounds, Marla. You don't want to throw it away. I've talked myself so many times and then turning my way right into Baskin Robbins. So I have to do the prevention, which is improving and connecting with the consciousness, the conscious contact of my higher power. That was a surprise to me, too.
Hi.
Thank you so much. Take care, Mo. I'm surprised I ended right on time. All right. Bye. Have a good day.
You did. Thank you very much. That's Marla S. from Iowa. And I'm sorry, Melinda, we do not have time for you today, but please come back tomorrow. All right. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Ann SCH please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ann SCH. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater living in British Columbia, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for a man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.